everybody, and welcome back to Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and this is the podcast where we discuss wine, food, beer, and so much more happening from halfway around the world. Well, today we're excited to speak with Cha McCoy. She is the founder of Cha Square Consulting, where she's a consultant with a focus on tourism, gastronomy, and hospitality experience, as well as education and training in the wine industry. She's known for connecting and democratizing the wine industry. And what I love about it, she also hosts various events online and offline where she brings together wine experts to discuss wine regions. I had the chance to join her actually about a few weeks ago to discuss Australian wine, and it was so much fun. So I'm going to put that YouTube video below. Also, she was named Top 40 Under 40 Tastemakers by Wine Enthusiasts and Cherry Bomb of the 100 Ones to Watch. So I'm so excited because in this podcast, we're going to be discussing Cha McCoy's passion for wine and how an MBA abroad in Italy made her completely change her career path. All right, before we get started, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Bottled in China. And if you love this podcast, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode. Cha, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
I'm super excited because I was definitely not stalking is not the right word, but I was going through your Instagram, I was going through everything, and I love what you share. I love your message. I love what you do. And I want to talk about how you started off your journey in the wine world as a sommelier and also founding Cha Square Consulting. So can you share with us your story?
Sure. So I'm going to try to give you the highlight reel. So the Cha Square Consulting came about from, or let's just say the wine story started from me living in Italy. I moved there in 2010, and I was actually doing my MBA in international finance. So not wine related at all. But of course, as you can imagine, living in Italy is all about wine. So you can't avoid it, no matter if you was learning tax accounting, right? Every day is about wine still. And so I actually picked it up as like the lifestyle, you know, learning Italian, drinking great wine and learning about all the different types of pastas that come along with it. And I would say somewhere along in that journey, I started visiting vineyards, but that was just out of pleasure, the fact that I had access to them from living in Rome, to be more exact. So making day trips to other regions and visiting vineyards when we were in new regions as tourists, right? So that just came natural. You live in Italy, why not, right? And then when I moved back to the States, I'd really missed living in Italy and my lifestyle. And one main thing that, you know, I could say traveled everywhere was definitely wine. And I always make this joke, even when I do, when I'm speaking and I talk about this moment, is because I came back and I was like, wow, what I lived at in Italy, it was okay to day drink. So I wanted to make it still socially acceptable. And I said, in America, everyone looked at me like if I was an alcoholic. So I said, I need to enter the wine world fast so that it could be still acceptable to drink at 10 a.m., you know? So I always say that joke because I started working at a wine shop as soon as I came back to the States in New York City. And from there, if you want to fast forward, I had my wine mentor. He guided me on the other regions because I actually only knew about Italian wine when I first moved back. As you can imagine, when you move to these countries that are wine making countries, they don't have too much other wines there. It's just, you know, it's all the focus is on that particular country. So he kind of led me in a direction to help me learn about France, Spain, and Germany to just kind of get a very, and then taking on a new world from there. And that's where the buzz really was started, was that time there in Italy. If you want to fast forward to Cha Squared and actually start taking the exams, that was about 3 years ago. I started collecting that moment of what would I want to do for free? You know, that kind of idea. You tell yourself, you're like, oh my God, I hate my job, or I don't like it here. What's going on? What am I going through? I'm having a rut. And I realized like, oh wow, wine has been like that one thing that connected everything I did that I would pay for, you know, like, I'm like, I loved working at the wine shop, but I was working like minimum wage basically. So I couldn't live off of that in New York City. And that's why I ended up going back to corporate America. But then I was still traveling and spending my money when I was working in corporate to go to Chile, to go to South Africa. And so I realized that was the, if you want to say, the thread between my entire life when I looked at what I love to do, what was my true passion. And so 3 years ago, I started The Communion, which is a wine dinner series where I help, or the intention is to connect people to wine in a more approachable way. And that's through food pairings, that's through wine education, and through community. So people at all different levels come, chefs come just because they want to hear about wines and the interesting ways to pair and to think beyond just French wine and Italian wine, and also the food related to that. Because as you know, there's this elitist and snobbery that comes with both the food and wine world when you think in that way, you know? So we're not used to thinking about, okay, Chinese food or ethnic food of other cultures and how to pair those with wine. But yet the people, this is New York City, people are from all types of backgrounds. Yeah. They need to learn how to pair their food too. And the answer is not always Riesling, by the way, for all those in China who's out there having great diversity of cultures, but they always put Riesling as the answer for everything that's from everywhere else in the when you study wine. So fast forward exams. Then I moved to Portugal, and that's where technically, because of quarantine, I'm home in New York now with my family, but I live in Lisbon, Portugal. And so I've been doing consulting for wine events, working as a sommelier in Lisbon. And it's been, I feel like a long journey when I say this story all the time, but it's been fun.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. I love how that just opened your eyes up in one trip, right? And actually changed the course of your life. And I mean, when you were that wasn't your thought, is that you completely would change your course of life. So it's quite interesting how the world works and how life just rolls out in a different way that you anticipate sometimes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
There's something you said.
2 years, so I didn't think that I was leaving there with an MBA to do
one. I think most people don't expect that when they go for an MBA specifically, right? And then they come out and they're like, I'm gonna go for wine. I think that was it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you learn. I want to talk about something that hit me that I thought was really important. You talked about mentorship and how when you got back to New York, you had a mentor that really helped you open your eyes up to the more global aspect of wine. Can you talk to me about how mentorship helped you find, I guess, your taste in wine, or also expand it, and how people can leverage mentorship? Because I think this is one of the big topics. Like, even for me, I'm very scared of asking for help, right? I think as much as I know and it's important, maybe on a business level or trying to test something out, can you explain how important that is? Because especially today that everyone's at home, there's a lot to think about who we are, what do we love to do, where does our values and our passion really lie? Can you talk to us about that and how that helped you finding your step in wine?
Yes, I would say for sure when because I came to the store and was like, you know, just got back from Italy and I was all pumped, like, I can sell Italian wine. I don't know anything about what a sommelier, I don't think I even knew the word sommelier, to be honest, then, let alone to ask for a job in a wine shop. But I'm like, I must have an advantage because I just left Italy, right? And so I feel like that was already a bold step on my own, on my own, just to come in and think I can do this job, and not knowing how big the role is even in wine buying, you know, in a retail space. And so just having him there just to give me the guide rails, like, hey, do you even know, like, he literally had to tell me, like, do you know what you're asking for? Like, you know, you know about Italy, great, but do you know about these other countries? So that connection, just to have someone to say, you know what, you can come in and I don't mind having you in the store, but and you sound, because the passion that I had was genuine, and I think he heard that. But I think it was the fact that he was really honestly available and okay with not me knowing about Barolo, or me knowing about Barolo, but not knowing about Burgundy. You know, usually people don't, they would know about French wine before they know about a Barolo, but I came with this, I just lived in Italy, I don't know anything about how great Burgundy is, nor where that's at. And he was looking like, what am I going to do with her? This is odd, you know? And with the fact that he's seen that I was very honestly interested and really wanted to learn more, that was the first spark. So I think that mentors, and even for the people that I try to mentor today who want to ask me questions or, you know, have my ear, I'm always telling them, like, I always look to hear what they're trying to go after first. Like, what's your real goal from this experience of in the wine industry? And try to see how I can help provide those same, you know, just like when you go on bowling, you know, that kind of those rails that come up for the kids so I won't go in the gutter. Yeah, I'm trying to just give you like a direction in a way to like help. Hey, I did this kind of research for years to kind of figure out what was going to be my place in this industry, you know, and maybe before you start saying, hey, I want to be a sommelier, maybe you just should learn about the different roles first. And he did give me the first level of that, you know, to help me break down what a sommelier was, how is that different than working in a wine shop, what's the difference with being an importer, you know, and that made me feel confident that I didn't have to go work in a restaurant to be in this industry immediately, that there was a safe place for me to learn. And I think the wine shop give you that, you know, there was less pressure in a wine shop than me working in a restaurant serving people right away, you know? So I think that kind of helped open the door, because then, I grew an appetite, for other regions because of the regions he loved. He loves Zinfandel from California, because he feel like it's always disrespected. Like people just still think about white Zinfandel, the rosé sweet version. And even though it's a very powerful grape, people don't know about how awesome it is. And so I appreciated Zinfandel on the like highest level from him, and opened my mind up about other regions because of his guidance. And then there's other mentors along the way that, you know, I have a mentor or who I call my godfather in Portugal. And he basically is the same thing. Like, child, what are you doing now? Are you on track with your goals here in Portugal? And that person to just check in with you. Like, I came here on a mission, right? I moved to Portugal for something.
Right.
And so are you on those, he has a Dega wine market, which is basically a Portuguese wine online and in person. He does like these large wine fairs in Portugal. And so it was cool to be connected with him before I even moved it. I actually met him while I was still coming to visit because of the industry. Someone had told me it'd be a good person I should seek out. And even he's a good person for me to kind of like bounce ideas off of when I'm in the rut and I was in Portugal, because I don't have access to my family and friends like I do, or my community back in New York. So that he's been helpful from my time living in Portugal too.
Yeah, it's so important, I think. And hopefully what you do today, I think, really embodies that people have helped you and have helped guide you. And now that's what you give back as well. Because that's something that I felt was very strong in a lot of the posts that you do. You're really talking about how that's important for, you know, some of your values. And I want to talk about that through your events. You know, I saw that in late March, you organized an event called United We Taste. So I want to talk about that. Can you tell us what is the idea and what was United We Taste?
Yeah, so it was interesting. So United We Taste is not over. It happens every week. Mid-March was the first one. This week will be the eighth week of United We Taste. And so it has been a beautiful collaboration between myself and a gentleman by the name of Philippe. He's in Portugal. We started because we linked up on LinkedIn. we both noticed we were studying Rioja at the same time, and it's during this time of COVID-19, and we can't taste with each other, right? Normally as peers, we usually blind taste each other in front of each other, or, you know, studying to just keep ourselves on our toes and like learning from like each other. Maybe we know something a little bit more, right? So it was like a honest way of just, how do we connect other people that's in this industry when we are separated, you know? It's that kind of like a home alone but together idea that a lot of people are promoting. And so each person, if we love wine, of course we could just sit home and drink wine. And you're like, man, I really wish I was sharing this experience with wine with someone. And as I think as a psalm, and we normally always feel that way. Like, oh man, this wine is amazing. Too bad this, like if you live alone, there's no one I can even tell who can imagine, who can experience this. In my case, I'm being quarantined with my family, and I don't think they would appreciate, you know, the way I do the wine. So I'm like, oh man, I can't even share this with my friends, and you know, that may live even in the same city as me, to say, man, this wine is outstanding. You got to try this. I even bought you a bottle, or I saved some to taste with you. Come by, you know. And so it was like, okay, but we can still share that with someone in some way. And so United,
right,
we taste is literally what that is. We started tasting wines together. We ended up focusing on one country at a time. And because of COVID-19 in the news, we kept hearing countries like Italy was the main country at that time where we were hearing about a number of deaths. And then also Spain became the next week because of that too. Then Spain moved up and surpassed China with the number of deaths. And so it was a joint force effort of people around the world who were able to have access to, in that case, Italian wines, or next week the Spanish wines, so that we can just think about Spain and kind of send good vibes to those countries at that time by tasting the wines, thinking about them, or even sharing memories from visiting there. But we always, always had someone from each of those countries in the Zoom chat with us who can give us like a realistic like way of life of them during the COVID-19 experience. So they shared like what they've been doing, and we've been trying to boost their morale too, right? They're living in the middle of a place where all they keep hearing is that people are dying every day, you know? So it's been a fun experience. We've had people taste a part of it, and I can't wait to have you on one of ours as well, Emily. We've had people from South Africa. We've had the Netherlands, Spain, Italy, Portugal. We've covered Napa Valley at this point too. So we had a full crew of folks. We actually featured California as its own segment too. And I just think that this is the way that we can do this kind of joint energy. Maybe that's me. I'm really tapped into that idea. You know, let's bring positive light on those countries. And even if it's just through us tasting wine and, you know, this kind of peer education, it ended up becoming blind tasting, by the way. Now we do blind tastings on each other. But at first it really just was the idea of like, how do we virtually connect and hold hands and do just like a cheers with each other at that same time and spreading positivity. So that's that.
Well, it's great that you say that, because it truly is important to connect everybody together during this moment. And I think that's one of the beauties of the wine industry. I mean, very rarely do I join a finance Zoom call where we all enjoy it, you know? Right. So at least wine has a little bit more of that, you know, it just, people are excited about it because it talks more than just something that's quite dry. You really discover a story behind it. It brings people together. But I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, because I really love how you are building the community. And, you know, what are some of the effective and key creative ways that you're inclusive and enriching wine-related communities in a setting like Zoom or in a setting like Instagram Live? Like, how are you doing this to make people feel connected? Are you guys, like, putting questions up in advance, or are you guys doing, like, how are you making sure everybody feels heard during these programs?
So we source out, so I may already know people, so the ones who are actually joining, just to break down kind of technically what happens, for those who've never seen it, and you can definitely go to my page and it goes straight to the YouTube if you want to see recaps from previous weeks. And this week, by the way, is Germany, this Saturday. But we literally go by, like, who is in a country we know, right, between him and I. And then we reach out to them first to kind of, like, have our anchors. Like, these are going to be our in-the-field kind of people. So if this week is Germany, then we need at least, let's say, one or two persons in Germany who can talk more versely about German wine. They don't have to be German. They could just be in Germany, right? And then also talk about how it feels during this moment to be living there. Maybe is like versus Italy at that time where the rules were becoming more strict. Maybe a place like Germany is more lenient, you know, I don't know. So this is what we talk about for a very short period of time. And that was more so in the beginning, like in March, right? Then that turned into the next phase of that is us having, I have these questions that I usually pull to everyone. And usually the whole, because everyone's wine related, meaning they are sommeliers, they are wine or beverage directors at restaurants. They do wine consulting. They're wine writers. You know, so everyone's in the trade in some way. And so it's cool to kind of just like have them share either their experience or how it's happening, like what's, how has this affected them, or just simply me asking them like the questions that maybe other people don't ask them, you know, because maybe they're not the famous people, you know, like everybody's really big on obviously who, what's your influence, right? So on social media, maybe someone with more influence would be called in. And you're, I have the crew who are normally like, we talk, if you want to say crap, to each other afterwards. And like, yeah, no, I don't believe that, or I don't agree with that. So I said, let me get some people who I really know is tapped into the trade and on the ground who can really shed light on this. And so those who watch the video now or in the future from YouTube, they could really feel like, oh, wow, I didn't know that about Spain. Or, oh, wow, I never heard of that region. Mm-hmm. But now you're talking to someone who's a small importer who does the traveling to that, those smaller regions. So that's what I'm trying to promote too, which why I said, why I believe it would be relevant beyond just COVID-19 is because then even myself, I found myself going back to like, oh, let me remember, I forgot what this person said, and I know that's going to be helpful. So let me go back to what she said, because she was talking about a specific grape I never had before. And let me look up that producer, I never heard of him. So I feel like connecting the folks that's in the room, meaning within the Zoom chat, but also the ones who are watching us. I do a YouTube. The reason why it's on YouTube is because we didn't want it to disappear. I know you, IG just opened up the new feature where you can download the streams, but in March you couldn't do that. So I went straight to YouTube as a live chat so folks can join us in the live chat and actually, you know, type in their questions and follow along with us. So I usually post on Instagram first. If people have any questions or concerns, they'll let me know like, oh yeah, I don't really understand German wine laws. So I can bring that up during the conversation about topics. But sometimes if I don't even get to do it, or if no one sends me questions, I have my own questions that I come and ask them, because I know what it feels like to be in this industry. And there is some things I don't understand about certain regions that I would love to hear from the, you know, people that's on the ground. So I really hope that this can provide, it can be a place for people who are still studying, people who are looking for producers, you know, like, oh, I want something that, what are people in the industry drinking? Not just what are the big brands that I see in my local supermarket, you know? And so it's a good way for people can tap into maybe supporting smaller producers as well. And that's the ecosystem, right? If we, the people, are talking about it on this smaller scale, we are also, maybe someone say, oh, I like the way she described that wine. Let me go look it up. And that will tell you, oh, I see the label. Let me go to the store and buy that one, or ask somebody, hey, sir, do you have this wine? I'm looking for this one. And like, you know, and be able to support that smaller, you know, winery. And so I think that's the way we're giving back to it in the same breath. So I hope that was, that's literally what the idea was, you know.
Right. Now, another thing that you mentioned at the beginning was talking about ethnic pairings that you guys do. I want to talk about that. I agree. Riesling is typically the wine of suggestion. But, you know, even in China, white wine doesn't do well and people don't actually drink Riesling. So It's always great to pair these because they're definitely coming from a Somme recommendation. But what are some amazing and intriguing pairings that you guys have had that you would recommend with everybody?
I guess without hearing a dish and without having a dish in mind, but I would say that usually when you hear Riesling, I immediately think, have you even tried a Chenin Blanc? Because Chenin Blanc has the same versatility of being paired with, it can go from dry to sweet, and just like Riesling. And that's why Psalms love Riesling. It's because you can pair a dry Riesling and then turn around. You can do a whole 5-course meal, 7-course meal, and use a different Riesling for all the courses. Like Riesling is so easy just to throw out there, you know. But then people don't think of Chenin Blanc the same way, unless you're in the industry. I think we've kind of tapped into it, obviously, in that way. But Chenin Blanc is a really good one if you don't know the spiciness level, and you're like, okay, I don't know what to do, but let me just throw a nice off-dry Vouvray, where Chenin Blanc is the grape for that one, and be able to actually, it will pair well with a lot of Chinese dishes with some heat on it. There is some other, you know, I grew up in Harlem,
And we have a nice community, a nice amount of people from Senegal here and with Senegalese heritage. So even though I didn't grow up eating food from Senegal, as I started traveling and I guess my palate became more adventurous, I decided to also start to eat the same way within my own city. You know, like, okay, when I travel to these countries, I eat their food. But when I'm home, I'm in New York City, I have exposure to a lot of cuisines. Let me just eat, you know, let me eat foreign here, local, you know? And so that's exactly what I started doing. And I really got into Senegalese food when I moved back from college, back home to New York City. And so one of my favorite dishes is tabougine. And tabougine is the traditional dish of Senegal. The capital city is Dakar, which is right on the ocean. And so there's a lot, that's a big fish community. And so tabougine is the national dish, and it also is a fish dish. It is a lot of spices that comes from the onions and garlic sauce that comes with this baked fish, and it's stuffed in it. Oh my God, I'm getting mad because I'm talking about
drooling.
It. I haven't had it in so long.
It sounds good.
I'm like trying to remember all the flavors, and I'm like, wait, now I'm getting mad. I actually don't want to, I'm going to stop talking about it. But I loved pairing tabougine with a red wine. Specifically Nebbiolo, and even more specifically Barolo, because I think there was this texture, or even a Sangiovese, because you want this like nice tomato flavor that you get from, tomato leaf flavor that you get from those wines. You even get like a hint of truffle from Nebbiolo, and it goes well with that fish, the way they, I don't want to say it's seared, if you want to, or broiled is better.
Right.
And so it's not that it's baked in the, like, you know, like stuffed with all this stuff. It has all that season, but it has this nice charred flavor on top that goes well. So it's not grilled, but it's still, oh my God, I'm getting mad. Because I haven't had it so long.
Well, listen, that sounds absolutely delicious. And definitely, I think that a lot of the time we don't think of fish with red wines, but definitely when we take a look at what are the spices included, and also what is it cooked in? Well, that changes everything. Well, it's absolutely amazing to speak with you, and what a beautiful conversation, and your passion just, you know, really shines through this episode. But everybody listening, I'm going to put some of the show notes. You're going to be able to find her Instagram, the YouTube links that you were discussing, and I can't wait for people to join that community and be part of something bigger than just the beverage itself, part of a beautiful community that supports positivity, also inclusivity. So thank you so much for being on the episode.
Thanks for having me. And we'll see how far the United Taste goes. But please also add my website in case people are in New York or in Portugal. I do vineyard tours in Portugal. And I also am hosting a harvest retreat for people to come out to southern Portugal and do harvest.
Cool.
So I'm all about doing experiences with wine. And so now virtual is the new trend. So everything is now virtual, but when we're able to at least touch each other again, I do plenty of experiences in person. So please follow along my journey.
Certainly. Thank you so much.
Thank you.